ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ मे मतमिदं नित्यम् अनुतिष्ठन्ति मानवाः श्रद्धावन्तो अनसूयन्तो मुच्यन्तेऽपि कर्मभिः। एमे
ऑफ द लॉ ऑफ फ्रुइटिव एक्शंस। रीड द नेक्स्ट वर्स ऑल्सो। एत्व इदत् अभ्यासयन्तो नानुतिष्ठन्ति मे मतम् सर्वज्ञान विमूढांस्तान् विद्धि नस्तान् अचेतसः। Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. But those who out of envy disregard his teachings and do not follow them are to be considered bereft of knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection, purport. The injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the essence of all Vedic wisdom, and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita, but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. The flaw of not being Krishna conscious is clearly stated here in next verse. As there is a punishment for disobedience to the order of the Supreme Executive Head, so there is certainly punishment for disobedience to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A disobedient person, however great he may be, is ignorant of his own self and of the Supreme Brahman, Paramatma and the Personality of Godhead due to vacant heart. Therefore, there is no hope for perfection of life for him. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyanan. Hare Krishna. So, Eme Matamidam. All these previous verses, whatever Krishna spoke about performing Karma Yoga, Mahi Sarvani, then all those previous verses, Evam Pravartitam Chakra Nanuvartiyatiha Agham Indri Rama Mogam Partha Sajivati. That one who does not come into the cycle of prescribed duty, which has been ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the demigods, and then performing action, Mahi Sarvani Karmani, all one's action has to be dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this is Krishna's mat, his oath. So he says, one who does not follow those persons who execute their duties according to my injunction, those who follow faithfully without envy become free from bondage of fruitive action. And those who disregard because of envy, they'll be bereft of knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. So Prabhupada explains what happens when you don't practice devotional service. Therefore, the whole matter about Bhagavad Gita or teachings of Bhagavad Gita, very interesting. If you read carefully, Krishna talks about how one can understand. Understanding of Bhagavad Gita does not come by trying to interrogate or to do research. Just like if someone goes to some enemy's camp with all the facilities, trying to, like an agent, a CI agent or a CID agent, by his expert intelligence, one can come to know, okay, this enemy has these kind of information, these are their ammunitions. One can be a secret agent. But one cannot approach Bhagavad Gita like that. Just because one has a Bhagavad Gita and try to do research, let us see what Krishna has to say and where he goes wrong. You go wrong. When you try to see where Krishna goes wrong, what are the defects? So that very attitude is not accepted. So as repeatedly Bhagavad Gita Krishna explains to Arjuna, Bhaktosime sakacheti rahasya etaduttama. And then again, in the 9th chapter, in the 3rd chapter also, Ashraddhana Purusya, Dharmasyasya Parantapa. That one who is not faithful and free from envy, he cannot understand. Now, this is how one has to approach spiritual knowledge. There is no other way. One cannot say, no, I don't want to accept this way. I want to use my intelligence. Use however much intelligence you have to understand the scriptural understanding, especially to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot. Like every institution, every education field has certain criteria how to study. You have no choice than to follow their injunctions. If you want to join certain medical college or engineering college, you don't decide how you want to study. To get into that college, you submit. You submit form also. Submission. You do submission also. So all the same terms are utilized. You see, the same terms which are meant for using to understand God are also used. Submit, submission. So in this way, one does not challenge to receive material knowledge. And what to speak of spiritual knowledge? Spiritual knowledge also requires certain credibility, certain qualification. And you can't question, why like this? Why not from my way? No, your way will not work. Therefore, Krishna gives these two verses. One is, if you are freed from envy, faithful, what is the solution? What is the result? And if you are full of envy and faithless, what is the result? Therefore, in the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Machitta sarva durgani mat prasadat parishasi. That all the difficulties, durga means very difficult. If your mind is absorbed in me, Machitta sarva durgani, all the difficulties you can cross, mat prasadat, by my grace. But out of false ego, if you do not accept, if you don't hear, then what will happen? Vinankshasi. Then you will be destroyed. Krishna is giving that choice. So, Vaishnavism or non-Vaishnavism, materialism or Mayavad philosophy or Vaishnavism, it is not based upon my liking. I like this philosophy. I don't like this philosophy. I like some other philosophy. It is not a question of philosophy, it's a question of attitude. It's question of mentality. It's question of the heart. Where do you want to take your heart? We were discussing yesterday that people, the conditioned soul, takes pleasure in perverted activities. There is culture, that is Sanskriti, and there is a natural activity on the conditioned platform, that is Prakriti. When I feel hungry, I eat. It is not that when I feel hungry, I don't eat. When I feel hungry, I eat. When I feel sleepy, I sleep. Night time, the whole cycle is so arranged by the material nature. Of course, now people are not acting like that also. So when at night time, if you see small children, when they feel sleepy at 7, 8 o'clock, if you allow them to sleep, they become healthy. They go to sleep. That means they're responding to the natural sequence of the material world. That is called as Prakriti, Swabhava. And what is Vikriti? Vikriti means to take pleasure in something which is not natural. If you see some beautiful flower, you take pleasure. But crushing that flower, if somebody finds pleasure, that means it's a pervert. is the perverse, that he is taking pleasure in destroying something. Therefore, we see in India, strikes. Strike means what? You break the government property. Somebody takes pleasure in breaking the buses. Someone takes pleasure in breaking the glass windows of a nice building. Someone takes pleasure in burning the buses. One may say they are very angry. But again, what is anger? Anger is another perversion. And then, actually, you can see people take pleasure in destroying. Small children, they will throw stones at dog and laugh. Prabhupada gives that very brilliant example of a man in Kolkata. He was butchering a chicken. And he was not even immediately killing, half killing. And he was taking pleasure. The chicken was flapping its wings. And the son was crying. The butcher's son was crying. He slapped the son. Why can't you be happy? Take pleasure in this. That is a perversion. So therefore, a conditioned soul has an inherent nature to defy the existence of God. There's no question of, does God exist? Can you prove the existence of God? You don't need big philosophy to prove the existence of God. Because you cannot think of an object which does not exist. It is not possible. Very simple logic. That one cannot think of an object which does not exist. So to defy the non-existence of God has to be there. It's like some rebellion young teenager. So no, he has to defy the authority of his parents. I don't care. So when you say I don't care, that is as good as saying I don't care that they exist. I deny their existence. What is it? It is that you have to have your father or mother to defy their authority. If they don't exist, then there is no fun to defy because they don't exist. So therefore, God has to exist to deny his existence. As I said, you can't. It is not possible to think an object which is not existing in this world. So, whether you are an atheist or a theist, Gnostic or Astic, the center point is God. God has to be there to deny his existence. For the scripture explains, even to deny the existence of God, to present that logic, God has to give you that intelligence. So therefore, this is not even a debate. Should I debate with somebody? Does God exist? No, there is no question. Because one cannot prove non-existence of God. The existence of God is an overwhelming reality. What actually happens that one does not want to accept the existence of God because he has a bitter perception about God. He has a wrong understanding of God. He had a bad experience of God. It is not the problem of God, it is the problem of one who is experiencing wrongly. If you come with the wrong expectation, if you come to a Hare Krishna temple, what is the characteristics of a Hare Krishna temple? That when you come here, you are supposed to be Krishna conscious. Only thing Hare Krishna temple can offer you is a facility for you to become Krishna conscious. So if you come to Hare Krishna temple, being tormented in the material world, hoping that there will be some material solution. No, the Hare Krishna temple is there to dissolve the material existence. You have a problem because there is a material world. You have a problem because you have a material body. And because you have a material body, you have desires. And because you have desires and material world has limited facilities to even fulfill 1% desires. Mind is much bigger than the world. A philosopher, they ask question, the world is in the mind or mind is in the world? Mind has the power to accommodate the entire world. Even though we are in the world, but the mind has the power to accommodate. So therefore, mind is the stock, the place of go down of material desires. And there is no limit. It can expand. Somebody showed me the hard drive, 1 gigabyte, 1000 GB. It's so small. If you print everything what is there in that, you may fill up the whole temple hall and still it may not suffice. So if a material people can create a hard drive which has unlimited facility, you can imagine the mind. And mind carries not one lifetime desires, many lifetimes desires. They are there in the form of seed, in the form of impetus, in the form of unconscious ingredients. So therefore, so when the desires appear, the material cannot has the ability to fulfill. So therefore there is a frustration. And when someone comes asking God to fulfill his non-sensible desires, he doesn't deserve for Lord to fulfill those desires. And he does all kinds of puja. And then when his desire is not fulfilled, then what is the reaction to that? Oh, I did everything, God does not exist. Ask anybody, why do you say God does not exist? Bad experience. There is no philosophy. You can't prove philosophically. It's all bad experience. Either the, in the European world, the intellectual people, whether it is Charles Darwin, whether it is David Hume, whether it is Freud, or whether it is Nietzsche. If you see their life, what they were, then you realize why they created that philosophy. Bad experience. They had bad experience. They perceived something about God and they had a different experience. Therefore, God does not exist. So, it is not a philosophy, it's an attitude. And that attitude, what does it do? It creates a philosophy. Then you start writing something. So then he starts taking pleasure in seeing a defiance of God. And then slowly, it may take to the path of spirituality also, as we were discussing. Whether you break a bus, or you break, some building, you take pleasure in that. Oh, I did it. Sometimes those who take part in the strike, when they do it, they go and tell their friends, "Maine bus toda, maine ye toda, wo toda." And they take pleasure. But, like I remember, we went to Hanumanji's birthplace, and there are nice carvings. Carvings in the stone. And then the neighboring kingdom they attack. And all these nice carvings, what they have done, they have not destroyed everything. And the nose has been broken. One has been removed. So when you disfigure the carving, it looks very ghastly. So one small girl, 5 years old girl, she was asking, how can somebody do like this? That is theism. Destroying something is atheism. So similarly, when you extend your consciousness and take to the path of spirituality, and that path of spirituality, like one time Radhanath Maharaj mentioning, he met somebody, he was practicing some kind of spirituality, and he said, my goal, the very deity which I meditate, by my meditation, I want to crack. That deity should explode by my meditation and then I should be there. Bus breaking, glass breaking. No better than that. But it has a, what is it? It is called as a spiritual process. The same mentality is there, but you call it as a spiritual culture. There are spiritual culture where you practice all kind of austerities, all kind of tapasya, but you deny the existence of God. God is not there in the picture. Therefore, Mahaprabhu gave this process, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. Prabhupada would always ask this question to people. He would say, what is your goal? If you are practicing some kind of spirituality, what is your goal? And if they would say, our goal is to become one with God, or become God, or there is no God, then they all go in the same place. Bus brokers, glass breakers, everybody in the same line. Now it makes sense, because here therefore Krishna repeatedly, he talks about attitude. like in the Russia, when devotees wanted to build a temple, they still want to build. They are on the verge of building the temple. But some Orthodox people, they couldn't see, okay, this is also another way to worship God. They felt threatened. How can these people come to our country? How can they build a temple? So to prove that how Hare Krishnas are wrong, they took Bhagavad Gita. And they went to the government. And they opened the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Just see, they studied. That means they did research. And what does it say in the Bhagavad Gita? In the 10th chapter where Arjuna is speaking to Krishna, that I want to understand you, I want to know you in the material object. Keshu keshu bhaveshu chintose bhagavan maya. There Krishna explains, daityanam praladasmi, amongst the demons I am pralad. Just see, God is demon. They are worshipping a demon god. Because the verse is, amongst the demon, I am pralad. And they went, just see, this is what the Bhagavad Gita, their scripture only mentions, they are worshipping demon. How can you allow them to come here? Without understanding who Prahlad Maharaj is. So therefore, here Krishna, repeatedly in every other chapter, he makes this understanding. That if you are envious, you deny the existence of God. Therefore, Vaishnavism is not a philosophy. Vaishnavism is the real nature of the soul. It's a real nature of the soul. To love God. To worship God. To serve God. To cooperate with God. And anything which is not that, defy the existence of God, ask service from God, make God your order supplier, or someone says making God as your cosmic bellboy. He's like a waiter. Cosmic bellboy means you have waiter in the hotel, you know, you ring the bell, or you call him, he comes with a letter, or chit. What do you want? I want this, I want that. You know, and you give him some tip. So similarly, if you consider God to be like that, he's a cosmic bellboy. You ring your bell and he has to come. And he has to supply all your orders. And if he does not do, he's not good waiter. Reject him. Make Hitler as God. Just see, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita purport. During the Second World War, one businessman in Kolkata, he was a rice merchant. And Prabhupada is talking from his experience, a rice merchant. He was actually had a picture of Hitler in his godown and he would offer agarbatti. Indians are very good making anybody as God. He was worshipping Hitler's picture. Why? Because of Hitler, the Second World War took place. And because of Second World War, his stock of rice, the price shoot up. And he could make large money. This is a perversion of religion. Means he doesn't care how much people are suffering. He only cares about his own personal profit. I am making money. That's a perversion. So as we are discussing, Krishna is telling Arjuna, because you are non-envious, you are non-envious of me, therefore you can understand me. When we become free from envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one may say, how can you say that I am envious of God? Now see, the existing philosophy, you ask this question, what is the beginning of your philosophy and what is the conclusion? That's all. Ask anybody, any philosophy. If they say, yes, God exists and our goal is to go back to His place and serve Him. If that is the conclusion, then they are on the right path. But no, I need my own universe where I want to be God. Then they are off. They need some treatment, psychiatric treatment. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, quoting Shastra, that there are five kinds of envy, five stages of envy. What is it? First is to have no faith in God. That is the first envy. That to not have faith in God is a sign of envy. Again, as why? Because of the bad experience. Like, Nadzi also, he was raised Christian. And in Christianity, the concept of punishment is there. Hell is there. If you don't accept Jesus, then you go to hell. there is no other option, there is no other choice. Directly go to hell. The punishment of God will come heavily on you. So he heard this philosophy from childhood and he rebelled. Because the tendency is that only principle of discipline, a fear principle is there, an affection principle, love principle is not there. As the living entity grows, same thing with the children also. When the age comes, they rebel. So this Nadze rebelled. He said, hell with God. I declare God is dead. And of course somebody wrote, after Nadze was dead, Nadze is dead, God. He wrote a cartoon that God is dead, Nadze. And then after he was dead, it was written that Nadze is dead, God. But he made a relevant point also. Nadze said, if there is a loving and dancing God, I would worship him. You see? He had a bad experience of God, but he also was hoping to have an experience of loving and dancing God. He said, if there is a loving and dancing God, I would worship. He missed Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If any, wow, there is a loving God, he loves. And what kind of criminals? Therefore, the Vishnu Tattva, there is Trinity in Vedic literature also. There is Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar. And what is this? It is again, the whole thing you have to see, not from the gross point of view. It is from the heart's point of view. Lord Brahma is the creator, Srishtikarta. He brings the living entities back into this material world again and again. And he creates a facility. Unless you have a material body, you cannot function. If you don't have a material body, you are a ghost. And ghosts haunt others. So practice spirituality for a conditioned soul, he requires senses. One has to engage one's senses in the service of the Lord. So Brahmaji creates. He facilitates. And Lord Shiva destroys. Lord Shiva takes the role of punishing. In the 7th canto of the Bhagavat, Lord Narsingdev, when he appeared, Lord Shiva is saying, Kopakala Yugante. You are a Kopakala. You are the time factor. And I represent that. I represent that principle of destruction. And that is Lord Shiva. And what is Lord Vishnu? Lord Vishnu is a maintainer. So Lord Shiva, at the end of the creation, he destroys everything good and bad. So therefore Lord Shiva is controlled. When he was created by Lord Brahma, you know, Lord Shiva went creating some disturbance as a Rudra, as a Rudra's principle. And then Brahmaji had to stop. Then he created 4 Kumaras. And what is Lord Vishnu's principle? Lord Vishnu principle is the principle of giving opportunity again and again. You try to reform. I give you the facility. Lord Vishnu's principle is not to destroy. Lord Vishnu's principle is to give opportunity to rectify and get out of Brahma's creation. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartina Arjuna. Mamu Petutta Kaunte Punarjanma Nibhidhi. Go beyond Brahma's creation. Go beyond the discipline of Lord Shiva's destruction. Therefore it is explained by one poet when Ravan came to fight Ram. You can imagine your worst enemy is coming who has caused greatest disaster and he comes there and Ram fights him. Usually if such an enemy comes, like when Dushyasan came in front of Bhima, you know what happened. Bhima crushed him, he pulverized him. He wanted to kill him slowly, bit by bit. And he was so angry, he killed him and almost drank his blood. He was moving like a, you know, death personified. Even the greatest warrior ran away, saying Bhima's anger. Why? Because I was telling this story to the children. Dushyasan killing story. And I asked, do you think it's ghastly, cruel? And many kids said, yes, ghastly. But one girl said, ghastly but right. Ghastly but right. That was a great answer. It's cruel. Yes, the whole description is so fearsome, bibhatsya, but it is right, justified. So Lord Ram, when he saw Ravan, And he is the supreme personality of Godhead. He has the greater power to kill more ghastly Ravan than Bhima could do it. Bhima is the most insignificant part of the supreme personality of Godhead. Even though Bhima is a living entity, it is still 1/10,000 part of the Lord. And if Ram has to become angry, you can imagine. Simply a glance of Lord Ram can destroy Ravan. But Ram, what he did? It is explained, Ram sent him back that day. He said, you are exhausted, you are tired, come back tomorrow. So one pivot raised this. Why did Lord Ram do like that? Was he thinking that Ravan is exhausted? He saw him from a material point of view? No. He said, Ram had hope in Ravan that he will come back tomorrow by changed personality. His consciousness will change and he will come back and take shelter of me and I will give him shelter. So here, Ram had greater faith in Ravan than Ravan having faith in Ram. Therefore, God is the greatest theistic. He can never deny the living entity's connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, there is, you know, that faith. No, he will change, he will change, he will change. But Ravan was an atheist. He said, I will not change. I will die, but I will not accept the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And again, when the battle was taking place, another poet says, I think Kalidas says, that Ram kept on shooting and removing the heads of Ravan. Went on for a long time. Why did Ram waste his arrows? One arrow straight into his heart where the nectar was, there he would have been killed. And that's what actually happened eventually. Because that Ram was thinking, this is the beauty how a devotee poet says. Ram was thinking, I remove this head surgery, then better head will come. At least that head will think. Now I'll remove all this bad head, contaminated head, has no brain substance. So if I remove this one, so the better head comes, then he might change. So that is the attitude of the Lord. He will change and then I can give him mercy. So just see, so much faith in the living entity, even after seeing all kind of nasty behavior from the living entity, still the Lord is willing to give that facility. Unless we see the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the grace of Guru and the devotees, one can never understand Bhagavad Gita. Same thing in the Mahabharata, and Krishna came as the peacemaker. Everybody told him, you go, have a peace, try to make peace. So Krishna came and he was not treated rightly by the Duryodhanas. Externally, yes, they created a facility, but internally they were ready to capture Krishna, bind him, bribe him or bind him. That was their policy. So Krishna directly comes to Vidura's house and Vidura feeds him simple food. And then Vidura tells Krishna, why Duryodhan is not qualified to hear you? All the disqualification of Duryodhan. Why? Why you can't hear? Arrogance. He said, this person is so arrogant. So there is no question of submitting to you. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains, one cannot hear properly, one cannot give any attention to discourses or Krishna Katha unless there is a principle of respect. So how can you understand Bhagavad Gita? If you don't have a respect, you don't understand Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was arguing with Krishna. In fact, he was defeating Krishna in the argument. Krishna is presenting Artha Shastra according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Arjuna speaking from the higher principle of the principle of Dharma Shastra. Krishna saying, violence, Atatai, he's Atatai, they're aggressors, kill them. Arjuna saying, no, I want to forgive them. So forgiveness is higher principle than punishment. Right. Forgiveness is a higher principle than the punishment. But Krishna is not speaking. Apparently it looked that Krishna is speaking the principle of punishment over forgiveness. But Krishna is speaking much higher. Beyond forgiveness, beyond punishment, was the principle of following the orders of the Supreme Personality of God. Beyond dharma, he was talking about pure devotional service. When Arjuna eventually changed his attitude, it was the same Arjuna with the same mentality, with the same intelligence. But Arjuna changed his attitude. He changed his concept. He said, now I accept you as my spiritual master. I am your disciple. And please instruct me. He came with a changed attitude. Then Arjuna became a very good container, a patra. And then Krishna started speaking to Arjuna. So when Krishna came to Duryodhan, and Vidura tells him all the disqualification, why is he not qualified to hear? And what does Krishna say? I know what you are saying, Vidur. Therefore, if Krishna has to judge living and it is based upon his knowledge, he knows past, he knows future, he knows present. Sometimes people ask this question, if Krishna knows everything, past, present and future, where is the question of free will? Forget free will. He knows our free will, we will misuse it. It is not our free will which allows us to practice devotional service. Yes, technically yes. But more than that, Krishna's kindness. Krishna's kindness, Krishna's compassion, Krishna's endeavor covers his own knowledge. The knowledge of future action. This is what Duryodhana is going to do. That is covered by the Kripa Shakti, by the Hope Shakti. Now he will change. He badal jayega. So Krishna told Duryodhana, Vidura, I know what you say. I know Duryodhana. And I understand what you say, but still I have to try. It is my responsibility to try to change him. If he does not change, Krishna says, as if he is talking as an ordinary person, I will get the credit of endeavoring. I will get punya for endeavoring. And he says, for someone who is planning to do good, even if he does not succeed in that good plan, still because he planned, he gets the benefit of doing the good. Therefore, I am doing it. Just see the Lord's consciousness. But what was Duryodhana? Duryodhana he defied. He saw Krishna. No, he is not that first part that, you know, he does not believe in God. He defied God. He knew Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He said, I don't care. He was like that. But first is to not have faith in God. I mean, they don't have faith in God. They don't believe in the existence of God. As the first envy. And second, to think the Supreme Lord as product of his own karma. Even the Lord has his karma. Lord has to suffer. Some philosophers say because of the battle on the Kurukshetra, God has to go to hell. No, God doesn't. Yes, he goes to hell, but to bring all those who are there in the hell. So to think that Lord also suffers the fruitive karma. Therefore, in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains in the beginning. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, explains that karma principle is very deep. Gahana karmano gati. But if you hear from me the concept of karma, just see, Krishna is saying, karma is very complicated to understand, but if you hear from me, then you will be freed from the karmic reaction. That is the benediction. You will be freed from karmic reaction. So what to speak of Krishna being affected by karma? That is a disastrous philosophy. Or Ram being affected by karma? That is a disastrous philosophy. Even a devotee is not affected by karma. Karma does not bind him. A devotee transcends karma. He has the power to see even something which is bad happening to him as the benediction of the Lord. He adjusts everything. And what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Just like when Lord Chaitanya was performing his kirtan, one angry Brahman who was not allowed to come to the kirtan, therefore he was very angry. And he snapped his Brahmin thread and he cursed Lord Chaitanya that he may lose everything. And now to hear such curse from a very powerful Brahmana, it's very terrifying that you may lose everything. Even though we know people's curse don't act. Right? They don't act. But somebody says something bad. You know, why you are creating apashakun? Why you are talking ill omen? If somebody is going to some place, you're not supposed to ask, kahan ja rahe ho? That is bad omen. People get irritated by that. And then if you tell them, you're going out, you'll not be successful. It's like they're so angry. You know, their words will not come true, but still we become so upset. We become so upset. So here this Brahmana cursed Lord Chaitanya, snapping his Brahmin thread, and Lord Chaitanya jumped in ecstasy. He said, thank you very much. He said, this is a benediction. Lord Chaitanya took that as a benediction. So, a devotee has the power to change a curse into benediction. Urvashi cursed Arjun that he become a eunuch. In the Mahabharata, that story is there. And Indra told, don't worry, this curse of Urvashi will be a benediction to you. Because you have to be incognito for 1 year, and Duryodhan will send all of his secret agents looking for you so that you can go back again to forest for 12 years. So that curse which was given by Urvashi to Arjuna, who was a pure devotee, was not a curse, it was a benediction. Narad Muni was cursed by Daksha Prajapati that you can't stay in one place, keep roaming. Now for Narad Muni, keep roaming is a better benediction. He can go on increasing his preaching. He can't stay more than 3 days in one place. Less than 3 days. 3 minutes is sufficient for Narad Muni to transfer people's lives. So Daksha thought that is a curse, but Narad Muni transferred that into benediction. So therefore, where is the question of Lord getting affected by bad karma? Even in the Mahabharata, again one may say, how can somebody think like that? No, even the great sages, Uttanga Rishi, when Lord Krishna is going back to Dwarka, in the Bhagavatam, that chapter is there, Lord returns to Dwarka. On his way back to Dwarka, he met this sage called Uttanga. He was a great student. So when Uttanga Rishi met Lord Krishna, he said, I don't want to hear that you are responsible for the battle of Kurukshetra. I hope the Kurukshetra battle never took place. Nobody has been killed. And if that has happened, I will curse you. Uttanga Rishi told Krishna. This story is there in the Mahabharata. And Krishna said, your curse belongs to the mode of passion and I am Nirgun. I am beyond the three modes of materialism. Your curse will not affect me. So he was thinking that Krishna is responsible. Gandhari felt like that. So now just see, Duryodhan was worst of the criminals. He knew Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He defied his authority. I don't care. Dhritarashtra knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of weak-heartedness, he could not accept Krishna. Not such a bad crime. Weak-heartedness. And Gandhari knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of God, but she cursed Krishna. So, from purity point of view, Gandhari was the highest. Duryodhana had no purity. Dhritarashtra had no purity, but time to time you would repent. Oh, I should not be doing this. I should accept Vasudeva as the Lord. I should follow Vidura, your advice. I should follow Sanjay, your advice. What can I do? I'm helpless. At least he would say like that. But he never denied. Therefore, Krishna showed him the partial universal form when Duryodhana wanted to capture Krishna. Krishna said, Dhritarashtra, see this form. But he said, I am blind. He said, don't worry about that. You can't see with your eyes. I will show you. And Dhritarashtra saw that form and Dhritarashtra said, I don't want to see anymore. I don't want to see anything else other than this form. She was a weak-hearted person. And Gandhari was pure. She performed all her tapasya or austerities. She lived a pure life. But what she did with all that purity, all that good karma she collected, all that credit she collected, it is just like, you collect nice food. Or you collect nice wealth. And you flush it in the toilet. You just put everything and then you flush it. So similarly, all of our good purity of being chaste woman, of being the bhakta of Shiva, has the power to transfer the body of Duryodhan into steel frame body.
She had the power to, by simply glancing from a corner of her eyes, she could make the toe of Yudhishthira go black. Yudhishthira was trembling. But then what she did? Out of anger, used all her power to curse Krishna. And Krishna said, you lost it. Because curse does not affect, but you lose all your credit. He said, now you cannot curse anymore the Pandavas. Of course, he would have had another plan to protect them. But he said, now I'm happy that you have destroyed all of your benedictions, your credits by cursing me. He said, it is no problem. So just see, purity does not guarantee that you can understand God and follow Him. Now, purity can cause arrogance and go to the extent where you want to curse God. So, it is not the present people only curse God. It is there in the beginning times also. Gandhari very closely knew Krishna. And she wanted to curse Krishna. And she cursed also. So therefore, and why she wanted to curse Krishna? She felt Krishna is responsible. When you make God responsible for your bad experience, you bring God into the realm of karma. When God can analyze and give us benediction beyond good and bad, we fall into the category of good and bad, and because God is beyond good and bad, therefore He can give us mercy. If He has to see from the principle of good and bad, we just go around like a ferry wheel, going back, karma of heaven and hell, heaven and hell. But He removes us from the heaven and hell, and He can take back to the spiritual world. The very person who can take back to the spiritual world, how can you make him responsible for something you are experiencing? So that is the second kind of envy. Making God to be product of his own karma. And third, to not to believe in the transcendental form of the Lord. During the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you see Krishna was bleeding by the arrows of Bhishma. And people raise this question, if God is transcendental, how is that he is bleeding? And somebody asked this question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, very simple. God has the power. God has the power to make matter into spirit and spirit into matter. What is the problem? It's not a question of Bhishma, they had the power to make Krishna bleed, but here Krishna was enjoying the virya ras, the ras of fighting. And as the blood flows, the virya ras simply increases more and more. So that is the perception of a devotee. You are saying God is bleeding. Just see, God is bleeding. That means in the mundane form. When Krishna went back to the spiritual world, when he was going back, different acharyas explained, he went in his self-same body. But while going back to the self-same body, in different planets, Krishna was releasing one of his form. Shripad Madhvacharya explains, for devotees, he stayed as holy name, he stood as a deity form. I am not there in my personal form, now I will stay in my deity form. So you worship me in my deity form. And for the materialistic envious people, what Lord did, he did another body, which looked like a mundane body. And it looked that a body has fallen with the arrows shot by that Jara hunter. And they see, if he is God, how is that he is lying? Just see, our point is proved. Yes, your point is proved. You have been tricked by the bewildering energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he went higher, you know, keeping one form in different planets. And only Brahmaji, Lord Shiva and other superior demigods could see that the Lord is going back to the spiritual world in his original form. And this is the explanation of Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami, when he sees Parikshit Maharaj being little, you know, hurt, how could someone shoot an arrow to the foot of the Lord, and the Lord is bleeding, and that became a cause of Lord's winding up his pastime. So there was some kind of bewilderment. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj is not bewildered. The sages could have been bewildered there. So to prove this point, Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, how can this happen to the Lord? Not possible. He said that very Lord could bring back his teacher's sons. They were dead. They were in the other place, in other planet, in the place of Mrityuloka. He brought them back alive. He could do that. And the very person who shot him arrow, Jara, you have seen Krishna sent him back to the spiritual world. If Lord has the power to send them back to the spiritual world, revive somebody who is dead, he said, you have any doubt? And forget about others. You yourself are the best example. Where were you? You were dead in the womb of your mother. And Krishna entered and he brought you alive. And therefore you are looking everywhere for Krishna. So when Krishna can do that, you had the personal experience, you saw Jara going back to the spiritual, you heard about Jara going back to the spiritual world. So what is the trouble? There is no trouble. Krishna is using Jara as an instrument to wind up his pastime and go back to the spiritual world. So therefore, whether Krishna's form bleeds, the example is given, you have a dog. And sometime, you know, they make dog of toffee, Bombay Mitai, right? They make different figures. Now what is it? Is it dog or a toffee? The full form may look like a dog, but it is nothing but fully sugar. The substance of that form is sugar. Similarly, Krishna may look like us, but that full form is substance of spirit. There is nothing mundane. This is the best example. If a dog, which looks like a dog, of a Bombay toffee, it is not dog. It is fully sugar. It is sweet anywhere you bite. Similarly, Krishna is like that. The full form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental. That is the third principle, not to accept the body of the Supreme Lord to be transcendental is another sign of envy. And to not accept the jiva's position as being subservient of the Lord. Okay, I accept the Lord is a transcendental form. We were traveling, this was in 97. We were one place in Maharashtra. And we used to travel in the bus. And we had to stay in one night, so we stayed in one ashram. And next morning we decided to go to their temple to chant. And we saw the form. The man was there. And his head was Lord Narayana's head. Ordinary person. And he was an ordinary sadhu. His picture was there. But instead of his head, they had put Lord Narayana's head. What is it? It's another kind of illusion and envy. That identifying oneself as God. Srila Prabhupada explains, when you perform dhyana, one sees Paramatma. When you see Paramatma, you have to understand that you are different from Paramatma. You are actually soul and is Paramatma. But by seeing Paramatma, there is a chance of one misunderstanding that I am that. That is my very self. We cannot see the difference. That actually I am soul. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, there are two kinds of merger. One is to merge in the existence of God, and then to merge inside God. And that is worst. Why? Because you want to merge with God, thinking that I will become God. Therefore, one does not want to accept the subservientship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Krishna explains to Arjuna, never there was a time, natvivaham jatu nasham natvam neve janadipa, na chaiva na bhavishyama, sarve vayam atampuram. Now what is this? Krishna is declaring his supremacy and our subservient to him. Therefore Lord Chaitanya, when he was teaching to Sanatana Goswami, he begins his teaching by saying, jivera swarupohai nityara Krishna das. The eternal position of the living entity is that he is eternally servant of God. Never changes his position of being servant. And God never changes his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our relationship. And not to accept it and wanting to become one with God, want to be God. First you are jiva, then you became Shiva. No, not accepted. First you are some devotee, then you become that same God whom you are worshipping. That is the fourth kind of envy. And the last is, very interesting, to not to be merciful to other conditioned souls. Here, one can judge one's religion. That I was discussing with Radha Gopinath Prabhu, you see those who worship demigods, like Ravan worshipped Lord Shiva. There is no fault in Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is a pure devotee of the Lord. They worship, Hiranyakashipu worship Lord Brahma. And usually what kind of benediction they ask? They ask benediction for eternal life. I want to stay eternally in this world. See that I don't die. I should not be dying inside the house, outside the house, by animals, by other living entities. So they are so obsessed of not dying. And once they get the benediction, they start killing others. Whether it is Ravan or Hiranyakashipu, once they got that benediction, they went on rampage killing all the living entities. Killing the sages, killing the brahmanas, destroying the yajnas. What does it show? That to worship your God and get the benediction, and then you go out and kill others. Therefore, Rakshasa means one will do everything to protect himself at the cost of killing others also. That is the definition of Rakshasa. So therefore, when you maintain your religion at the cost of killing others, then that is not the best of religion. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, once Vaishnavism is defined by your ability to see God in others also. How good you are seeing your God in others. How good you are that. No, this is my God, and if you don't worship this way, then you are supposed to be dead. No, that is not compassion. Compassion means, by some means, even if you don't worship my God, if you don't worship my Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worship Krishna by some means, but worship God. Therefore, Lord Krishna himself in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he exhibits his magnanimity. Remember me all the time. Maya, what is that? Maya vamana adaskam, mayi buddha niveshya. That always constantly thinking of me 24 hours. If you can't do that, then remember regulated way, morning, afternoon, evening. And if you cannot do that, then at least sacrifice some of your labor for my cause. If you cannot do that, do for some good cause. Even though I am not involved, do it for some good cause. By doing that, slowly, slowly you will progress. So therefore, mercy, daya, or compassion, karuna, to other living entity, is another quality that one is not envious of God. To the extent that certain philosophers who are practicing, you know, some kind of religion, their concept, like we were discussing, that when the missionaries came to South America, I saw one video clipping, and one South American is saying, he said, when our ancestors were here, our forests were flourishing, our mountains were, you know, producing minerals, our rivers were flowing purely, and our saviors came. Now the mountains are not there. The forests are destroyed. The rivers are not there. Why? The difference is, he said, we were taking good care of them because we could see God in them. We could see God in river. We could see God in mountain. We could see God in forest. But they said, no, God is only here. Anything you worship other than this God is not God, and your demons will go to hell. He said, who is progressing? Whose understanding is progressing? Therefore, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavad, the concept of seeing God everywhere is given. Seeing God in your deity, now that is also difficult. People come, why you are spending money worshipping a statue? But they will spend thousands of rupees on cosmetic. That is their deity. But when the deity comes, why spend money? Politicians, one time one devotee, one sannyasi, he was making a golden diamond crown for the Lord, costing 1 crore rupees. This was in South. And many politicians made a big uproar. How can you spend that much of money? And he gave a simple example. He said, what is your position? You are a chief minister of a state. You are a chief minister. And for one trip of yours, when you have to go to outside, how much money is spent on you? And how long do you stay as a chief minister? Maximum 5 years. And that never works also. 1.5 years, 6 months, 9 months. And sometimes you are short also. You don't have the power to control. You need such a protection. For your protection, more than he gave full bank account. How much money they spend on one minister. And he said, whom you are talking about? The Lord is the Supreme Father, has unlimited powers. He does so much for us. And you think 1 crore rupees is a big money? 1 crore is nothing compared to what you are spending. And you are so insignificant. So therefore, to be merciful to the living entities. So that is the deity worship. To see God in the deity is also difficult. Somebody worships God, people object. Why spend so much money? But here Bhagavad says, beyond the worship of deity, one can actually see God in others. How can you harm them? How can you hurt them? It is not possible. So therefore Vaishnava, one who practices the concept of Vaishnavism, is the only person who will never harm others because of that philosophy. He is able to see God in everybody, in everything. Therefore he can see God in animals, he can see God in ant. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that one who is intelligent and pandita, what does he do? He sees God. Vidyavane sampanne brahmani gavi hastini sunicheva sopakecha pandita samadarshina. He has the power to see God in dog, dog eater, an elephant and a brahmana. So what is that philosophy? When you see that, you are respectful. You know, my Lord is here. If I can see my Lord in Him, that is the perfection of my love. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya told Ramanand Roy, this picture is their famous picture, when Ramanand Roy, he said, my Lord, you are that Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Krishna. You are none other than Krishna. You don't cheat me. And Lord Chaitanya said, you are Mahabhagavat. And because you are Mahabhagavat, therefore what do you see? He says, what is that verse? Lord Chaitanya said that a Mahabhagavat devotee of the Lord, stavara jangama deki na deki sthanastha. Stavara jangama deki. He does not see moving and he does not see the, you know, kuta, staying in one place. What does he see? He only sees his ishta deva spurti. He sees his Lord everywhere. Therefore, because you are seeing Krishna in me and you are thinking I am Krishna, Lord Chaitanya tried to trick him. But actually what Ramanandra was saying was both were correct. Mahaprabhu was also correct and Ramanandra is also correct. Because that is the observation of a great devotee. So Mahaprabhu did not lie here. And neither Ramanandra did not lie. He was seeing Krishna, who was Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, yes, Mahabhagavat can see Krishna everywhere. Therefore, real religion, one's advancement is judged by how much you are compassionate to others. When that is not there, then one realizes one is practicing a very superficial religion. Because being a religious, being a spiritualist, means how can you harm others? Even to the extent of insignificant living entity. And then by saying this Krishna, he concludes to Arjuna. One may say, okay, if Krishna is saying that one has to see God everywhere, then why did he allow the battle to take place? How can you not see God in the battle also? Because it is ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can you not see Krishna in the war? And therefore in the Mahabharata, Arjuna's greatest enemy, Karna, he tells Krishna, this whole battlefield is like a Yagyakund. And you are the chief priest. And Arjuna is the one who puts all the ghee into the fire. His Gandiva bow is like that spoon which is feeding the fire. And we are all the oblations. All the grains. We are all the grains. And it is certain that all of us will go into the fire of Arjuna's battle. Whether it is Duryodhana, whether it is me, everybody will go. So that is the Karna's vision. Even he could see that. That we are all like grains and we are going into the fire. There is no hope for us. But because you are involved, see that my Lord, Karna is saying, see that my Lord, that we are killed on the battlefield, not that we are killed in our home. He said, we want to be killed on the battlefield because he knew the benefit of that battle. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, Krishna's killing is also supremely good. And that is another understanding. So, as we discussed in this verse, therefore Krishna is saying, if you accept my mat, ene matam tishtam anutishtanti manava, if you follow this without envy and faithfulness, you will achieve perfection. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. There is no time for question. We will do kirtan.